Number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We're at Tennessee Brew Works today. They're the official craft beer of the football offseason coverage here on 102.5 The Game. Locally brewed, community-driven Tennessee Brew Works. Finely tuned craft beer for finely tuned fans. And we're excited to have them partnered with us this year. And we always enjoy being here, especially on a game day when the Predators are in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
Love it, man.
Going to be fun.
Heck yeah, it is.
We had a lot of fun in that first hour with Lance Armstrong.
It's now a trending topic on the show.
That was the best call.
Man.
I wanted to kind of throw this at you. I saw this on ESPN. Adam Rittenberg has put out a piece called College Coaches Pick the 2026 NFL Draft Sleepers. And, you know, he basically talked about once the wave of the big names washes over, that's when the draft gets interesting. NFL teams are ultimately looking for value in drafting, and that truly starts at the end of day two and into day three. Every NFL talent evaluator is looking for a few sleepers or under-the-radar players slotted outside the top 50 to 60 selections. I polled more than 30 college coaches to identify potential sleeper picks for the upcoming draft in Pittsburgh. Most coaches talked about their own players, but some identified under-the-radar prospects they faced and explained why they're going to succeed at the next level. You will recognize some names below, including Heisman Trophy runner-up Diego Pavia and Texas defensive mainstay Michael Taffy, but others likely won't ring a bell. That's the point. These are the names to study up on before the end of the month.
Okay.
All right. So for quarterbacks, they have Luke Altmyer from Illinois, which he's gotten a little bit of buzz.
So they think these are going to be guys
sleepers
that hit after.
Yeah, yeah. Sleeper picks.
Not day one guys.
Correct.
Okay.
So Luke Altmyer, Haynes King from Georgia Tech, who I thought had a very nice college
career. Gruden loves that dude.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man.
And then Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt.
Okay. Somebody's going to take him the seventh round. I mean, he got to.
Oh, I think so. This is what it says. What else to know? NFL evaluators know plenty about Pavia after he filled college football headlines the past two seasons. He changed Vanderbilt's program trajectory and led them to the first 10-win season last fall while finishing as the Heisman Trophy runner-up. Pavia won SEC Offensive Player of the Year in 2025 and the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award after being named SEC Newcomer of the Year in 2024. He significantly improved his accuracy, rising from about 60% of completions in 23 to 70.6 in 25. The 5'10", 207-pound Pavia did on-field workouts at the Combine, but didn't go through athletic testing. Quote, there's a total focus on winning for him, said Vanderbilt coach Clark Lee. People like to create narratives around who he is and who he's not. All I know is that for 2 years, this guy helped elevate everyone's attitude internally. He measures 5'10 at the Combine, and there's almost this question around him playing quarterback. When you look at his analytic measures, his average depth of target, big game throws, throws beyond the sticks, his numbers are right there along with Mendoza's. He became a better quarterback from 24 to 25. I believe that he's got a chance to not just land somewhere, but actually build a great career when he continues proving people wrong and winning.
Well, I mean, that's your head coach, you want him to say that. I mean, I expect Clark Lee to say that and come out and say that. Look, Pavi's got a lot to prove. I mean, who's the would be the shortest starting quarterback since, what, Flutie that's been out there?
Russell?
Breeze was pretty, I think, 5'11", they listed as. So you're going to get a chance. I just don't think that to say he's Mendoza, no. All right, put Pavia on Indiana's
Russ
team.
Russ is 5'11".
Put Pavia on Indiana's football team. Did they do what they did?
Joe, that's a really good question that I mean.
Right, I don't know.
I'd probably say yes.
I don't. Every time that dude's been put down, he has risen up and
I'd
proved you wrong.
I mean, here's the thing, though. He had – you take two games, we're having a different conversation. Like, if they play better to start the game against Alabama and Texas, you know, take the bowl game out.
Right.
You changed the starts even of those Alabama and Texas games. We might be having a different conversation.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Because he probably wins the Heisman, and they would have been in the playoff.
Yeah. It'd have been tough to put him over to put Mendoza over him. And again, yeah, I mean, the Texas game, they got walloped in the first half, and they rallied and almost came back and won that game. I mean, the guy's a winner. I'm not gonna, but you're talking putting a franchise in his hands, and he's been smart the last couple of months to shut his mouth.
He has
been very smart, Diego. I know you're listening. Proud of you. Shut your mouth.
Yep.
And just letting your work do the talk, and then wherever you land, go out and get it done. I'm not knocking that this guy one day will not start in a game. You know, Tim Hasselbeck talked last week about putting in a package for him on an RPO with some team to get 2 yards. You don't want your starting quarterback to get pounded doing that.
Right.
Put him in and let him run. I mean, there's no harm in that. And go through camp and see the different value he's got. You do it. Taysom Hill with the Saints has been successful for many years doing that. But, I mean, I'm not putting Pavia down. I saw him at New Mexico State beat MTSU. 13-7, and Middle did a great job of stopping him between the 20s. Couldn't get anywhere. And I think I texted you. I was like, he's going to beat Auburn next week.
Yeah.
And then he ran all over Auburn the next week in 23, and then came to the SEC and did that here. And so I'm not saying he can't
Kyler
do anything.
He's Kyler Murray's height. Kyler Murray's 5'10".
Oh, goodness. But we'll see. I mean, and they gave Kyler Murray the first overall draft choice and don't get it done. Pavia can work his way in there, but I'm not putting the dude down.
Yeah, I'll be very curious. Like, what? I think we're all saying somebody will take a flyer on him in the seventh round. That's kind of how realistically how we feel. What will shock you? Anything above that? Like, if somebody all of a sudden, like in the fourth round.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, Pittsburgh takes him.
Shocked. Shocked.
I'd be floored.
There's nowhere I've seen that he's a fourth or fifth round guy.
Yeah. He's not even ranked in some metrics. So.
But, again, I mean, you get the perfect offense to put him in there. And like, all right, he's our guy that's going to do this. And it's a roster spot. You know how valuable – you've covered sports a long time. You know how valuable a roster spot is on an NFL team. So, if you're going to get him in there, let him do his work and see what he could do. But I think a seventh rounder would be good. And I don't know – any team could take him there, but watch him land at the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah, right? Fun.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll look at some of the offensive linemen he has on this list that college coaches have said watch out for them, because that's obviously going to be a position group that the Titans are going to be looking at when they're trying to find those sleepers coming up in just, what is it, a week and a half. Until the NFL draft. Thank goodness. We'll have more coming from Tennessee Brewworks today. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game. 615-737-1025 is the phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we will be on Thursday. I look forward to that, as always. Big Shark wants to weigh in on Diego Pavia. What you got?
Hey, Jason, Big Joe, how you guys doing this afternoon?
We're good, man.
And I was just calling in. With the Diego Pavia situation, I know that he can be compared to, like, the play of Mendoza as far as, like, you know, those guys winning this year and supposed to win last year for Diego, because he has improved as a quarterback. But in my opinion, if you put Diego on – Indiana team, they're going to win the national championship. They're going to be 16-0, just like with Mendoza. I really feel like that he was just one of those people that you could plug into a system that Netty has built, and, you know, it's been a really good one. As we can see, you know, they've been in the playoff the last few years, and they just won the national championship undefeated. So I do believe that Diego can be one of those guys that can get drafted and go in and prove himself. Not saying that he will be a franchise quarterback start off the bat, but he could be one of those guys that has, like, a career like Sam Darnold. Maybe he goes somewhere and sits down for a while, and then he's able to finally get a chance with somebody that's good looking for a quarterback, and he can come in and show those guys what he can do. But my only thing with Mendoza is that everybody is so high on the horse. It's the Heisman throw. Without our hometown kid, Charlie Besser from Father Ryan, Nashville, Tennessee, Mendoza doesn't look like the quarterback you know, that everybody wants to portray him to be in, we're gonna see that in the NFL. We're definitely gonna see that. So I don't think a lot of people are giving Charlie Decker enough credit because he was one of those big key players. He converted big, you know, third and fourth down catches in the national championship game. He had that big moment in the Big Ten game where, you know, pretty much they said that was Mendoza's Heisman moment. But in all reality, if Charlie Decker doesn't catch that ball, Mendoza doesn't have a Heisman moment. And he probably doesn't win the Heisman if Decker doesn't catch
that
ball.
Big Shark, let me ask you something. You consider Joe Montana a great quarterback?
I will say this. His style of play and who he played with, yes, he is a great quarterback because he did make, you know, great football plays. He might have not been the biggest guy out there, but he was one of the toughest guys, and he did make smart football decisions.
All right, he won two Super Bowls before Jerry Rice got there. You can't say that Montana was – it's not Montana's fault that he had Jerry Rice. So I'm just saying Mendoza and Charlie Becker's great. Don't get me wrong, Charlie Becker is an outstanding receiver. But to say that he's the reason that Indiana won the national championship or the biggest reason, it's not really fair. Mendoza's a hell of a quarterback.
He took a program that
never won anything. And Tom Brady had a great rant about this on TV back during the season, about winning at a place that doesn't know how to win. And Mendoza did that. Pavi is the same way. These guys are winners, right? I can't fault Mendoza because he's got Becker on his team or things like that. They're still good quarterbacks at the core. Don't fault them because they got good players around them.
No. I wasn't faulting Mendoza for having Becker. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that Indiana won the championship solely over Becker because that's not the case. Because in all reality, if you really want to break it down, I mean, Indiana had a mini football. They had a mini NFL football team. Average age was 22 and a half to 24. So you have rookies and pretty much free agents, unsigned free agents playing in college football. So, yeah, Indiana was supposed to win a championship. I'm not taking that away from them, and I'm not taking away Mendoza's quarterback play. But what I'm saying is certain plays that Mendoza made, he got those plays made because of Becker. Becker was – I'm telling you, go back and look at Becker. I'm not trying to be biased because he's from Nashville, but really go back and look at Becker. Look at how he runs his routes. Every route he runs, it looks the same. So you never know where he's going or what he's going to do. So I'm just saying, in my opinion only, that I feel like Mendoza is a good quarterback, but his Heisman moments or his big play moments, they come from Becker, man. They come from Charlie. Charlie is a bad boy, and I just got to give him his props. I mean, that's just all I'm saying. I like, you know, Mendoza. I like Diego. You know, we've been able to watch him grow for the last 2 years, and what Diego has done at Vanderbilt, pretty much, you know, a resurgence of Jay Cutler and even better. So I don't see why he can't get an opportunity like Mendoza because Mendoza was playing somewhere that they didn't win a lot either. So, I mean, these guys kind of got to stop looking at the measurables so much because we do have good quarterbacks that have been, you know, shorter, under 6 foot. You know, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, you know, those guys have won Super Bowls. So you can't say just because a guy's not 6 foot that he can't go play quarterback in the NFL because it's been debunked already.
Yeah.
This is my opinion.
That's a great call. Thanks, Big Shark. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. You have a good day.
You too. Good call. I mean, he's right. And I hear what he's saying. I mean, I think the pieces are important. But
sure.
I think that both Mendoza and Pavia, if they're not there, you're having different conversations about both those teams.
Sure you are. Yeah. I mean, absolutely you are. And Pavia's, look, and they asked teammates about Pavia's at JUCO, at New Mexico State, at Vanderbilt about him. Nobody said a bad word. They're like, this guy comes prepared every single day. His main goal is to win. He just wants to win. I'll take that all day long over a guy who runs a 4.2 40 who did nothing in college. Sorry.
One of the first things you said when we started this show, I don't remember what we were talking about, but you said, I want guys that hate to lose more than they love to win.
Absolutely.
And Pavi is one of those guys that, like, he hates losing.
Mm-hmm.
He showed it. Now, he didn't handle it right when he lost the Heisman, but that right there proved it. Like, he hates to lose. And that, to me, you can't teach that. That you either have that or you don't. And I think NFL teams, I'm not saying in the first round, but they're going to look at that and go, you know what? If I can find a place for this guy on my team – I want that in my locker room.
Oh, absolutely. I sat in the end zone when Vanderbilt played LSU, and they won that game that day. And just watching Pavia run through the LSU defense. And these are guys that are going to get drafted. And they were exhausted.
Sure.
They couldn't catch him. They couldn't stop him. And, of course, Diego had a lot of good talent around him at Vanderbilt. But I just put the tape on. You know, I know he's 5'10 or whatever he is and not the, you know, the greatest arm in the world. But a lot of guys don't have there are some guys who have the greatest arm in the world. And they're terrible quarterbacks. This guy just has a little something to get the job done. And I think teammates – like that, and they rally around things like that. So if I'm a seventh rounder, maybe six, I wouldn't be surprised to take him. If you hear some chatter and somebody's going to take him, then bring him on your team.
615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have more coming from Tennessee Brew Works here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We're at Tennessee Brew Works. Dr. Crane at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. 1137, Pavia is overrated. He will be the next Mark Sanchez, Trey Lance, Will Levis, etc. Here's the difference, though. Sanchez and Lance were first-round picks. Will Levis was a second-round pick. We're not saying Pavia's not going to be a day one or day two pick. It's going to be a day three pick.
Yeah. And that's fine.
So you can't – I mean, so if he's a day three pick and nothing happens, then nothing happens. Yeah. You can't say he's in those guys, like in the same breath as those guys.
I wonder what the – I know it's out there somewhere, the percentage of seventh rounders who make the opening day roster. And it's got to be.
I'm sure it's
5%.
Like, yeah, I would say like
so
less fine. Than
10. So, you know, take a flyer on the seventh round. He's your guy and then go for it.
Yeah.
We're going to waste it on a stupid punter? Give me a break.
Rick wants to follow up on Big Shark's comments on Mendoza. What you got, Rick?
Yeah, hey, I listen to y'all's show every day and enjoy it. Big fan.
Thank you.
Now, where do I start with this Shark guy? He doesn't know what he's talking about. Mendoza had plenty of Heisman moments. The one that stands out, the back of the end zone catch by Omar Cooper.
Yep.
With two guys from Penn State right up in his grill, tackling him at the time he released the ball and went right there to Cooper. I mean, that's your Heisman moment right there. But there was many more. Becker's not the one that gave Mendoza his Heisman moment. Yeah, he come on at the end of the season, made some awesome catches, you know, to help Mendoza out. But, you know, Mendoza had over 30 touchdown passes this season, which I believe led the NCAA in Division I. So, you know, to say he's not going to be good in the NFL, I'm not buying this guy's opinion. He's going to be good because he's done things the right way, and he studies the game, and he's a franchise quarterback. Now, as far as Pavia, he's a good quarterback on the field, but he lacks character and maturity off of it, and that's why Mendoza won the Heisman. The right guy won the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, I 100% agree. I mean, they undefeated. He was the best player in the country on the best team, which is fine. Also, I didn't, you know, with the – well, that was an NFL team he played on because those guys were 23, 24 years old. Look, Cignetti built the perfect team. You're going to blame him? That's the NIL. You could do that these days. Vanderbilt had a hell of an offensive line too as well. That was an experienced football team. So when you start breaking it down left and right, you know, you can see all the stuff, the excuses and everything you can pour in there. But Pavia's a good quarterback. Mendoza's a good quarterback. Chase, we agreed on this. You flip-flopped in Vanderbilt, Indiana. I think Indiana wins the national championship with Pavia. I think he's that good of a quarterback. His character off the field, besides being a dumbass after the Heisman, what has he done?
One last comment on this Sharks take on Indiana, you know, winning the championship because they had a pro team.
Yeah.
Every NCAA school has pro team players. I mean, they're paying them all. They're great players. Indiana just isn't the only team that has a pro team, so
correct.
To speak.
Yep. Rick, we love you, man. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, yeah. Rick.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Rick and Big Shark may have to fight in the parking lot.
Big Shark brought it though. He got some good conversation going there.
No, this is good. And this is what we enjoyed. I said to Joe during the break of I don't care what we talk about. I like having a conversation with you guys and girls.
Absolutely.
So, and our next one, Kenny the Mailman, who wants to answer our question of the day. Kenny, what's up?
Hello, good friends.
Are you going to say that the toughest individual sport is carrying the mail? Because I don't know if that's a sport.
I'm not going there, but I know Joe is a Rayon City kid. He would have fit so well in West Nashville and Cone High School. He would have been one of our best guys ever. But it took me years because this was wrong. Just growing up, if you didn't play football, baseball, or basketball, you weren't even recognized. You were made fun of. The kids that wanted to be musicians or sing or march in the band or do soccer or anything like that, we were brutal on them. But it took me a long time to learn. If you do something at the highest level, whatever it is, you have sacrificed so many hours. You've given up so much of your life, and you just got to honor whatever people do.
No, you're right. You're right. Real quick, and we say this all the time, people about athletes, people are jealous of where you are. Nobody's jealous of how you got there.
Yeah, they don't know the behind the scenes. Has
right.
anyone of y'all been to Scott Hamilton's fundraiser each year that he has? He brings skaters
in. I've been before,
in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you been, Joe?
Yes, I have, one time.
I went. And these little 90-pound human beings go by about 30 miles an hour backwards, leave the earth, spin around three times, and land on a toe. And then they got this move just about every one of them does where they go in a circle about 40 times faster than you can count.
Right.
It made me dizzy just to watch them. And I'm going, I don't understand how long it took to learn that, how they do that without getting dizzy. But and it's not even a competition. That's just like putting on a fundraiser. So whatever people do, if you're at the highest level, I might not do, you know, like it or follow it, but I honor what you did to get there.
Yeah. No, look, that is a fair statement, a fair call. Thank you, Kenny.
Hey, y'all have a great day.
You too. Boo. Kenny the Mailman. 615-737-1025. He's right, though.
He is right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no wrong or right answer, but it's just that if you obtain to that high level, man, God bless you.
If Diego Pavia is 6'2", what is this discussion?
You can't do this.
I am.
Yeah, you can't because, I mean, who is he? Who is Diego at 6'2"? Is there a player
comparable? I don't know, but, I mean, everybody, the biggest knock on him that people keep bringing up is that he's too little to play in the NFL. So I'm asking you, with everything else is the same. He's the same. He can make the same throws. He has the same athletic ability. He's just 5 inches taller.
Yeah, I mean, no. But, is Ty Simpson, you know, Diego at that level? I mean, he runs.
Yeah.
Got a hell of an arm. Pretty good quarterback. I mean, is Simpson what – Pavia would be if he was 6'2"? I think Pavia's a better athlete.
Yeah, so let's say like 6'2", 235.
Jeez. That's a big boy right there running.
Well, he's 207 right now, so I'm trying to just. That's what he's listed at least.
That's a big quarterback. Who is that big? I mean, I don't know.
Okay, all right. What if you, Joe Dubin, if God called you and said you can design the perfect quarterback, what's the height and weight?
6'4", 220.
Okay.
I think Dan Marino was the perfect size for a quarterback.
Damn, that's what I was in high school. What went wrong?
I think Dan Marino is the perfect size. I am not a guy who likes – we talk about this. I don't want to see a quarterback run. Scramble, okay. But I think that's the perfect size, 6'4", 220 – is the perfect size for me. Again, but look at all the great quarterbacks. I mean, Roger Staubach. I mean, Montana, you know, weren't the biggest guys. And, you know, I never thought Brady was until they came to the practice here.
Yeah.
Brady had the biggest hands I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is a monster at 6'5 or so. But, again, you look at Drew Brees. What was he? I remember talking to Donnie Nicky one time about Drew Brees. Because Drew Brees went to Purdue, Donnie Nicky went to Ohio State. And I said, what was it like facing him? He's like, it was awful. He goes, he was the best quarterback at that West Coast offense we'd ever seen. he couldn't stop Drew Brees. So whether you're 6'7", 6'2", or 5'11", if you've got talent, it will show out somehow, some way. And then Donnie was telling me, he's like, hey, he wasn't the biggest guy, but every pass was perfect. He knew where I was going to line up. He was that good of a quarterback. So they will find. If you got talent, you'll make it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let me ask you this. Because you talked about last year, the designed RPOs for Cam Ward, you don't like them.
Oh, hate them.
And there are other examples of using a quarterback like that when that probably shouldn't be. Is that the perfect – like if the Titans took Pavia in the 7th round and the idea was to try and make him like a Taysom Hill and have designed runs where they take Ward out of the game or keep Ward in as a decoy, but Pavia is the guy, would you support that?
Absolutely I would. But here's the thing. It's like, oh, he's coming. He's going to run. He's going to run. Who's to say you can't pop back and get a tight end as a slow release from the outside? Boom, there you go. He's going to make that. And if he gets hit doing that, scrambling around. Don't put Cam Ward in that position again.
If you got a design run, but all of a sudden he drops back and Iron Man is standing there wide open in the middle of the field, you're going to tell him to take it every time.
Right, yeah. Or if he's covered, then he's going to run. And then you got to worry about him running. And so, look, people have said, well, when Taysom Hill comes in, we know what they're going to do. Do you? I mean, he's been pretty damn successful.
He's been a tight end. He's been a quarterback.
Right.
He's been a running back. He's been a kick return, punt returner.
Yeah. I think
done everything.
I think if it's 3rd and 2 at the 44, plus 44 going in, and Pavia runs in there, and you're like, all right, what's going to happen? And you got this guy, you got that guy, all kind of questions and concerns and covering your guy and assignments. I mean, you want to create so much division on the defense that they're looking around to the sidelines, the play is snapped the gun. I'm all about that, man. And Tim Hasselbeck's all about that, too. So if we go wrong, we can blame Tim. He knows a lot more than we know.
Jack wants to weigh in on this conversation with Diego Pavia. Jack, what you got?
You know, you think about this every year, and there's always going to be a handful of these top-notch college quarterbacks that come in and never pan out, and then some of them that aren't all that can go crazy. I think the thing about it, you stop and think about Mendoza, treated like a king, the best coaches, the best players around him. You're going to throw him into the mess that's the Oakland Raiders, whether Tom Brady's running it or not. So I think the one thing that gets overlooked is how good is their ability to make chicken salad out of chicken squat.
That's a good – thank you for saying squat, Jack. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, Jack.
But he's right. I mean, I get it. And they're the Vegas Raiders, but that's okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could throw – look, he went from Cal to Indiana, and, yeah, he had good talent around him. But you still got to be good to make those throws, lead that team. They all loved him up there. And he proved that his worth. Who's better right now quarterback coming out of college than Fernando Mendoza?
Agreed. There isn't one.
And what do the Raiders need?
Quarterback.
Right. And yeah. So you get plugged in there.
It's all about, I mean, like, here's the thing. We're not talking about the Titans being a screwed up franchise as much because we like what they've now put together.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they got the front office right and we think they have the coaching staff right.
Yep.
Now, we could be proven wrong. We've been proven wrong a lot.
Right.
But the thing with the Raiders is, I mean, and hell, you had Pete Carroll for a year and it was awful.
Terrible.
Now, how much of that was Pete just has lost it, or how much of that was you got Mark Davis meddling and it's just a screwed up franchise?
Right.
I lean a little more towards it's screwed up franchise, but we'll see. Real quick, DK and Mount Juliet, Pavia would be a first round draft pick if he were 6'2 and can run like he does.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely would, but he's not, and that's the problem. So maybe, again, take a flyer on him, put him in there, see what he can do, and you got it. You're wasting a 7th round draft choice. Oh well. But what if I tell people about that? What if it turns out better than you possibly imagined?
Yep.
What if he becomes that guy and like, all right, we got something good here. Football evolves every year. It gets cyclical. It goes to the run game for 3 or 4 years. It goes to the passing game. The Wildcat came in for a year or two. I mean, it's always changing and doing things. I just think he would be a value to somebody in the 7th round to run a kind of weird hybrid fun offense.
615-737-1025. We'll have more coming to end hour number 2. Coming up next, John McClain at the top of the next hour here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at Tennessee Brew Works today. A lot of people weighing in on this Pavia Mendoza thing. 5'6", 3'3", being 5'9", and having a mediocre arm is not a winning combo. Flutie was his size, but he had a great arm. Diego isn't that, and his athleticism isn't all that great in the NFL at his size.
I've heard from scouts they love his arm. I mean, it's not Dan Marino arm, but it's, like, pretty damn good. So, tomato, man.
Here's going to be the interesting question. Who has a better NFL career? And that can and look, this can be, this does not have to be Hall of Fame by any means. Tim Tebow or Diego Pavia? Tim Tebow's accolades are first round pick, won a playoff game.
He did.
But it was a very short career.
He won as many playoff games as Kirk Cousins has.
Yeah. I mean, he won a playoff game.
I don't know, because I still think Diego Pavia ends up in the CFL.
Yeah, he could. He could.
And that's okay. I mean, you can make a nice living in the CFL doing that. So, I don't know. That's a great question. I really don't know.
Justin and Greenbrier says, I know this is off topic, but have the Preds tipped their hand on who is starting in net tonight? The reports were Eustace Onanen was in the starter's crease. So, that's not
let me ask
gospel. But that's
you
what
covered
it was
this team. You're part of the broadcast crew, and look, let's put all everything out there. He started Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to start tonight. Eustace Onanen. What is that signal? He's the hot hand.
He's the hot hand.
Is he the future?
He's the hot hand.
Okay,
that's what I think. Look, a new GM is going to come in here. And likely that's going to be two people. There's going to be a president of hockey ops, and then there's going to be a general manager.
Oh, no.
That's what I think is going to happen. Nope, that is that's kind of the norm right now in hockey.
Okay.
In other sports. Don't read into that because of what happened on Great Circle Road.
Right.
Look, that could have worked, but I don't know if they had the right situation there. But anyway, nonetheless.
Okay.
The new people could come in here and go, we like UC Saros. You were right to sign him with that contract. We just got to build around him.
Okay.
The new people could come in here and they could go, I don't know why y'all signed UC Saros to that contract, but we'll figure it out. And that could definitely happen.
Okay.
Now, you have to keep in mind that the people that are part of this search and going to be bringing in the new people were the same people that were a part of signing Saros, so take that for what you will. I think Saros is a good goaltender. He's won a lot of games for this team, but I also understand the knocks on him. And it doesn't help that Eustace Onanen had the best game of the year by a Predators goaltender, had the first and, to this point, only shutout of the year by a Predators goaltender, and, quite frankly, has just been playing better as of late. Saros has played well, but Onanen's been better. So it doesn't help the argument from the anti-Saros club that now you're in this situation. Because the right move that Andrew Brunette needs to make, he's making. You play the hot hand.
Right.
You don't look at the contracts. You don't look at, oh, he's the starter, he's the backup. You play the right guy for right now, and that's what he's doing. That's not going to help the future argument, and I understand that.
It's just telling to me that the biggest game of the year in Onanen is in goal. And I didn't know if it's because it's the hot hand or that we're confident with him right now, but the guy you're paying a lot of money to allegedly is not going to start tonight. I don't know. Just get the job done. Just win the next two games and pray the Kings lose one, and you get in the playoffs. Anything can happen. So that's a big decision coming up. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the operations guy and a GM. Who gets the final say in that? Are we having the same questions again?
Not really.
So who gets the final say? The GM?
Me. No.
Might as well be you.
No, the GM.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it's worked in other places.
All right.
Yeah, it'll be fine. The reason that you're unsure about it is David Poile did both jobs. Barry Trotz has done both jobs. But Barry said it last week on DVD that looking at it from that perspective of having two people, because it would be good, because Barry's had many situations where he's needed to be two places at one time and he can't. And so, like, let's say he needs to meet with, you know, Brunette on the NHL team, but there's a huge scouting meeting on prospects and how they've played with Milwaukee or elsewhere. One can go do that and one can go do the other.
Okay. All right. Do you feel better about the future after watching these young guys play the last 4 to 6 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah, same.
I do. I feel better about it. I think that you got – now, I don't think you have I don't think you have, like, a 50-goal score, but I never thought you were going to have that in any of these guys. I think you have some really good role players that you can use, you know, in the coming years. You have, I think, adequately replaced what you traded away.
Okay.
Now, you don't have the top-line center. You don't have the big boy forward necessarily.
Did that sting Saturday when who's it got? McCarron scored?
A little.
Yeah, right.
I laughed.
Same.
I was like, eh.
Same. I heard Pete call his name. I was like, oh no, of all the people in the Wild to score, it had to be that guy to get it done. So tonight they've won 15 straight over.
Yeah, it's something like that.
San Jose?
It's like a 17 or 18 game point streak.
Ah, just two more. Yeah. Do you think if they win the next two, they get in?
I think.
Because the Kings are playing teams that are out of it, right?
I want to say yes.
Okay.
I really want to believe it.
All right.
And the only thing you can control is you winning your games. They got to have some help.
Okay.
Kings have to lose.
Ugh.
So I just, you know.
So if the Preds lose tonight, is it over?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
All right, good. Good desperation.
It's not mathematically over, but, yeah.
I like desperate hockey.
They got to win out.
Okay. All right.
So we'll have coverage for you at 6 o'clock tonight. I'll actually be on with DVD when Barry Trotz comes on at 5, so I'll have a chance to talk to Barry.
Look at you, pal.
That should be fun. Coming up next, John McClain going to join the show. We'll talk to him next here on 102.5 The Game.